Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Here we are, now technically the start of the week, Monday, past midnight. Oh, welcome back. Now, last hour was a lot of fun with Dr. Stone, the hug doctor. Not often we get a Sunday night guest live in the studio, so it was really cool to have him in here. And am I just weird? I don't like hugs. I feel like sometimes I am the odd one out because it seems like everyone seems to be a hugger, but I am not. Maybe I'm a little old school in that way. When I was younger, I used to be a hugger. Things get changed. Maybe I'm like the Grinch, where it shows him with the heart that is shrunk down. And then there'll be some kind of like Christmas event where the heart will grow like three times too large and will break the instruments that are measuring the size of the heart. Maybe it'll be one of those deals. But I'm not holding out for that. I do like a good hug from the wife, though. And that was fun. Got to talk some hugs. So we'll post that online at KMOX.com/ONA. I got a few things I want to talk about. Johnny Rabbit's going to join us this hour. There's a presentation at the History Museum this week looking at the 60s. Ooh, now that was an era of hugging now, wasn't it? There was a story from The Guardian that, you know, it's very editorially, so I don't really think of The Guardian per se as the utmost journalistic integrity office. That's a thing. But they were talking about in California, they are looking at a state bill 206, which is also known as the Fair Play to Play Act. It would permit collegiate athletes in the state, which includes like USC, UCLA, Stanford, some really big colleges that are part of the NCAA. So the players can get payment for the use of their name, image, or likeness. Now, right now, when it comes to college sports, that's not a thing. When you are a scholar athlete and you're playing on one of these teams, the school has the ability to, you know, sell the school's jersey and perhaps your name or your number could be on the back. I guess it depends on the individual situation. But the exchange of being able to get everything from the school taken care of for free, and in the case of California, you even get a little money on top of that. Some basic living expenses are paid. It's not enough. So they, as a legislature in California, said, you know what, we're going to try to change that. We're going to make it so college athletes can get paid the money they deserve. This is a billion-dollar industry, and now the college athletes are able to get a cut of that. I am totally against this. I think it's a terrible idea for a couple of different reasons. But when I read this article by Melissa Jacobs, she makes some points in this, and she talks about how, like, I'll read some of them here. Okay, so the NCAA long prohibited its student athletes from earning any semblance of profit associated with their skill set or name. Meanwhile, college sports are a $14 billion industry, and the NCAA reported a staggering $1.1 billion in revenue generated last year, thanks in large part to the unpaid labor of its athletes. They make it sound like it's slave labor. So the athletes that are playing the sport that they were brought in to play on a full ride scholarship, everything taken care of by the school, they make it sound like that is slave labor because they're out there performing their sport because of something like this. At least that's what they preface this as. I don't think college athletes should get paid. I think it's a terrible idea for a few reasons, but I'm going to play Tim Tebow's recent. Tim Tebow was on ESPN this weekend and he was talking to Stephen A. Smith. Yeah, actually, it was a good conversation, but Tim Tebow is getting a lot of hate online for the things he said about why college athletes should not be paid. Now, Tim Tebow, if you think about it, one of the highest profile college athletes still to this day. He's been long out of professional sports. He hasn't played college in a long time. He hasn't played professional in a long time. And he was going through the baseball ranks, and he basically does broadcasting now. So what happened to Tim Tebow? Still one of the highest selling jerseys available right now. Is he getting money off of it? Well, no. Is he mad that he's not getting money? No. Here's what I think happens when college athletes start to get paid and the structure and how that changes things. Number one, if you want to look at fairness in college, so let's say you pay the men's basketball, the men's football, and it probably goes only that deep that a school is able to honestly profit from it. And a lot of times these school, they use this as like the front mat to the school, the welcome mat that will get into the school, gets people recognized. It gets the school name recognition. If they make it into the tournaments, it makes them look bigger and better. It helps them market themselves, and it's a pretty big deal. So they invest a lot in these big sports because they want to look hyper-competitive in these things. Well, think about it this way. Now, let's say they start paying the college athletes, and they say, okay, now we're going to have to open this up because there's some star athletes on some schools that would allow for this sort of thing. Then what happens when it comes to the fairness across all the other sports? So let's say, for example, college football, college basketball. Do you open up the door for every other sport to get every athlete to get paid the exact same amount? So let's say you have a big school with a big program, Mizzou, okay? And they have a great college basketball football program. Now, let's say women's softball or the track and field or something that is not, you know, you can go to Mizzou and get tens of thousands of people out to watch a basketball or football game. How many people are coming to watch competitive women's softball? Now, some of those athletes are on a full scholarship. They get their college education paid for. They get trainers. They get medical staff. They get all these things paid for. You know, everything. Their food inside of the dorms, all of that stuff paid for. Now, what is going to happen to the programs if the rules change where they have to, say, perhaps keep up with the Joneses? So you have one big school. Let's say you have a University of Michigan, Ohio State, Florida. You know, think about the giant in basketball. You have Duke and Kentucky and all of these. Now, let's say, okay, well, in order to stay competitive, we're going to have to pay our athletes X amount of dollars in order to attract them to our school. We can't afford to do that for the other programs. We're probably just going to cut women's softball. We're probably just going to cut track and field or women's field hockey or whatever. So whatever, the further down you go, if you're going to try to make things all equal because you have to, based on regulations in colleges or NCAA. And if you want to avoid this altogether, you just cut the sport. You say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to focus on just the big sports because that's all we can really afford right now because those are the only ones that bring money in for us. That's what happens when you open up this Pandora's box. It could be very dangerous. And I think that if you are a student athlete that is brought in for competitive rowing or something that's down the line, you are so grateful you have the opportunity to get that scholarship. How would you like it if that opportunity goes away? Now you don't have the option to go to a good school. Something that you worked very hard for, gone. Instantly. Because it's more important for the school to pay the football and basketball players than it is for the women's rowing. That's what you're going down. And that's where it becomes very dangerous. Now, Tim Tebow took an exact opposite approach to this, but he comes to the same conclusion. I'm going to play that for you coming up next. I want to get your thoughts on this. So is it time? Is it, you know, the way that this article is written, they say athletes are slave labor. They're out there like little puppets and the schools are the puppet masters and it's time for them to get paid. I don't think so. And even it's gone to the point where the NCAA is threatened. If California passes this law, they said we might have to cut California colleges out of the NCAA because we can't do this across the nation. So see you later, colleges in California. That's the threat right now. I mean, it's up there. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. We'll take your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX. And welcome back. All right. I don't know what's going on tonight. It's one of those slow nights. We have these every once in a while where it just goes completely dull. Like, what happened? People just sitting back in their loungers listening with their socks on and falling just ever so close to sleep, but not quite there yet. They'll hear something on this radio program that addresses them directly, and they'll think, oh, that woke me back up, and then you have a hard time. Or maybe you're out there working and you just can't get away. I get it. I totally get it. Is it going to be one of these nights? What happened? All right, here's the number, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And a bill in California will perhaps give collegiate athletes a slice of the college sports pie. And in California, they're going crazy. They're happy for this. Oh, so who endorses this? LeBron James endorses this. Of course, the super stud for the Lakers that missed the playoffs this past year. And the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, wrote a fiery letter to the governor on Wednesday saying that you should veto this if it gets to you, saying that the act is unconstitutional and threatened to boot California schools from competition, citing an unfair advantage for sure. Now, if California could be the only schools that could pay and recruit these top players, it is an unfair advantage in the whole college system. And obviously, this is another one of those issues where they hope all of the other states take effect. But all things considered, it is. You give, even if you like this bill, it would be an incredibly unfair advantage for them. And that would tip the fairness scale. So I do think it's a bad idea. In fact, you know who else thinks it's a bad idea? Tim Tebow. Here's a name you haven't heard in a while. Good old Tim Tebow passionately expresses his thoughts on ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. Uh-oh. Well, this doesn't want to play. Let me try it one more time. Aw, I don't know what happened. Let me try it three times.
I feel like I have a little credibility and knowledge about this because when I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it, and if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from us, from we, from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. Tim, we turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship. And you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar. And that's just not where I feel like college football needs to go.
That's fair,
there's that
man.
Opportunity in the NFL, that's but fair. Not in college football.
All right, so that's Stephen A. Smith. You hear him in the background saying, that's fair. So that was on ESPN. He's expressing his thoughts, and I think he's right. Now, he comes to it from a different conclusion. I don't look at it that way, but all these points he makes is true. Look what happens when you're a player going into it, and now it's a business decision, as in I can make more money at one school than the other. Some people have said, like, there's one article. Okay, Gilbert Arenas, basketball player, accused Duke of paying its players money to come play for its basketball program. I'm sure things like that happen in the background. But he said he knows two players in the last 5 years who were paid $200,000 to attend Duke rather than Kentucky. That's what's going to get into. Think about everything that was what the college experience should be like. There's already an option for a lot of these players to leave early if they have the ability to go pro, and I can't fault them for it. You know, if you have... For me, for example, you know, I went through school and I knew that this is what I had to do in order to get the experience, in order to make the connections, in order to be legitimate, in order to have a better chance of being hired. But I knew ultimately it was talent that was going to get me to that first job. And ultimately, it was somewhat talent, but it was a lot of luck. I mean, you don't really account for those things, but it was a lot of luck. And things worked really well. And after that, it was talent and hard work that got me to this position here at Overnight America on KMOX. Well, I find that if I were in college and someone came to me and said, you know, we're going to pay you $100,000 to come work for us. If you just got to leave college right now, we need you now. I probably would have left college. I mean, that makes sense to me. Someone comes to you and says, okay, Sounds good to me. Now, if you're playing basketball and someone says, well, we anticipate you'll be a first-round draft pick, you'll probably make about $2 million for the first year, $2 million for the second year, $2 million for the third, and then after that, if things go crazy and you might do well, you know, like $10 million a year or something. You know, some of these people are going to leave college for this sort of thing. That's really good. Now, how about we back it up and say, coming out of high school, they're out there saying, okay, we can pay you 200 grand to come play basketball for Kentucky, or we'll pay you 200 grand to play for Duke, or we'll pay you, you know, 50 grand to play here, 50 grand to pay, da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, all of a sudden, it's not the same that you, it's not the same system that makes college sports. All of a sudden, it's a minor league system. It's looked at as a professional sport. It's a league. It's not college. You might as well cut the sports all the way out. You might as well forget about everything that comes with it. You might as well just say, all right, if you're just going to pay it, we might as well just come up with a league. As soon as you're out of high school, you can go play for that league, because that's what's going to funnel into the pro sports and be done with it. And be done. There's a lot of things you get if you are a college athlete. And to say that you get nothing and it's slave labor is absolutely wrong. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Doug calling in. Hey, Doug, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, how are you tonight?
Good.
Feeling better after your hug?
It was a hand hug. So we did 21 seconds, and then he did the extra squeeze, and then we went on probably for another 10 seconds after that.
Well, so cool, man. That's great.
The hand hug. Okay. Are you a hugger?
With the right people, yeah. I mean, if I know them, you know, you have to know somebody to do that, but
yeah. All right.
But anyway, the reason I called in was, like I told your producer, I think these college kids are already getting paid in a manner of speaking. If you get a scholarship, you get a full ride.
There's a value to that, but
there's a lot of value to that because college is not cheap anymore. So we're talking a few bucks there, but California, this doesn't surprise me in California, because you can count on the fact that if California thinks these kids should get paid, then they also think that they should get their share of the pie in taxes.
Pay the taxes for the value of that. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons they keep talking about, oh, these families are so poor and they need the money if they're athletes. Okay.
Another note,
you get all the taxes on it. Yeah.
Right. And I just saw an article the other day that California is considering legislation. It's already passed their legislature and they're waiting for the governor to sign it into law, that musicians in the recording industry should not be considered contractors anymore. They should all be on the payroll, which means they are employees, which means the employer has to match Social Security and pay workers' comp and pay benefits and, of course, taxes. And one of the things that the governor said was, this will generate $7 billion in revenue for California. Well, guess what? The recording industry is now saying, well, if it happens, I guess we're not going to record in L.A. anymore.
Oh, wow. That's a big exile out. It's hard to believe that, but they would have to.
This affects a lot of things, not just the recording industry. It affects the movie industry. It affects, you know, all this. But they conveniently exempted other occupations that have contractors, such as trucking. Mm-hmm.
And
they named some other ones in this article too. I can't recall all they named, but there was quite a few that were exempt. And I'm thinking, you guys, you know, this is California's broke as a joke anyway. So they've been broke for years. I mean, you know, they have so much tax revenue that they just, you know, they get it in, but they give it away. So,
you're right.
The whole situation in California, it's a mess out there.
They get a lot of revenue.
Firsthand experience, I used to have a cousin out in California that lived out there, and she told us, she said, oh, you can't imagine what the taxes are. She said, in fact, before she passed away, she told me and my brother, she said, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody's going to inherit the house because you guys couldn't afford to keep it.
Well, how much is taxes in California? Let's say they are making 200 grand a year, or whatever the example they used for Duke. Like, let's say you're making, the price is 200 grand for a player. I wonder what tax bracket that puts you in California. Because,
you know, I don't know. But
I bet you that puts you north of 40%, I'm going to guess.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah. Easily.
So automatically, they're going to take away almost half, and they're not going to realize that these poor kids and their families, they're going to spend this. Well, think about some of even the smart athletes. You look at some of these athletes that figured this out the hard way, like Shaq, for example, one of the biggest basketball talents of the generation. And he goes out there, he gets a signing bonus, And he realizes he lost it all. And he's like, no, that's not right. I got a, you know, I got a $2 million signing bonus. Well, he didn't realize that they took taxes and everything out. And then he overdrew his account buying all this stuff. He didn't realize, you know, buying a car and, you know, buying the shoes and the watches and all that stuff. And he had to learn real quick. He's like, oh, I didn't realize that. Taxes, what are taxes? So, yeah, think about all these other students that are going to be getting into some major trouble if that's going to be the case. And they're just going to be leaving
exactly
it.
Right.
Because they say like,
that's
what, 2% of these 2%, if that, go into play some sort of professional. So 98% are going to leave probably with a massive amount of debt that they accrued for themselves, not understanding the tax portion of this sort of thing.
And what's
that
the
Nick
thing?
Gates, the student loan.
They're going to pay the members of the marching band.
Everyone, anyone on a scholarship, it pretty much has the ripple effect all the way down. I don't know how you
Where does it end? It doesn't end anywhere. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, with like Title IX, I don't know how that would work. You'd think you'd have to do the same thing for all the other but all the other paid scholarship positions.
Yeah. Exactly. You're exactly right. And then it goes into everything. I mean, that can really create a big mess.
Yeah,
and
they just dropped sports. I mean, that's all they could do if they had to do that. Because what's the point of having rowing when you know that you're just not going to make any revenue off of it and it's just too expensive? You know, what's the point then? So all these
other
students, if you're not playing basketball or football, you're out of luck. Mm-hmm. Sorry, see you later.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And one more quick thing I wanted to pass on to you. When you had the hug doctor, and I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, it's ironic. We live in a society today that is more connected than it's ever been electronically. Mm-hmm. And yet there are more people that feel more alone than they ever have.
Yeah, I agree.
Isn't that something?
Totally agree. I have some thoughts on that. But
those are kind of things I think about.
Well, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, Doug. I know you get out there and you play music for a lot of great people. And I know that you do like the senior homes, and you're doing great work with that, because a lot of times they're the ones that feel like no one cares about them. And you guys are doing some great things for them.
Well, we do whatever we can.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it's all about, you know.
Thanks, Doug. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Ryan. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doug. That's cool. All right. Well, I wanted to talk to Johnny Rabbit. He's got a presentation coming up at the History Museum, and this will be a fun one, going back to the 60s. It's like hopping in a time machine. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Get ready for the Cards and Nationals tonight. Emerson Total Access, 5:50. First pitch, 6:45.
The Road to October, sponsored by Show Me Opportunity and Show Me Institute on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'll take this one call. We'll get to Johnny Rabbit here in a moment. Real quick, let's go to Brian in Illinois. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
I don't know if these kids are responsible enough to get to have that much money as a 18, 19-year-old kid.
Yeah,
what are they going to be doing with this money?
Yeah, think about what happens next. If you're a sports agent, you're probably salivating at the thought that there's going to be thousands of new potential clients that you're going to be able to sign up at these colleges. Yeah, now, just if you want to ruin college sports, just think of the idea of sports agents negotiating for you on your behalf to go play for that school. Kills the whole college idea.
It ruins the whole deal.
Yeah. And I can understand why the NCAA are going to be protective here. And it would be weird to cut off those schools from their tournaments and everything else, and they'd be independent. Yeah, I guess Notre Dame there for a while was independent, but I don't see them being able to compete, because it would be a way to kill competition. And I don't think the rest of the country wants to adapt the way California is trying to do this. So it would cut those schools out. And then what happens to all those kids that are playing out there now? They're pretty much excommunicated. It has the opposite effect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good luck. I mean, you have your own league, California League.
I like Tim Tebow's thoughts.
Yeah. Tim Tebow's good. He has a very relevant point, knowing that he had one of the highest selling jerseys and still does. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Good to hear from you. Yeah. Good old Tim Tebow. Well, think about some of these schools that got in trouble for doing this. The Ohio State, Jim Tressel years or whatever, when they're selling merchandise and all of these other things, and people argued, oh, that shouldn't be a big deal. Well, it does put a huge unfair advantage. And then on top of that, if you're a college student, then are you playing for the team or are you playing for yourself? Now, I understand you're trying to highlight your skills so you can play professionally. But what happens after that? Are you going to have your dad go out there and try to get you a shoe deal on the side? It would completely ruin things. I don't think anyone would argue that it would change the landscape, and I don't think it would pan out all that well. I really don't. All right, Johnny Rabbit, our friend, coming up next. Overnight America, Camo X. Another presentation coming up this week at the Missouri History Museum in the Lee Auditorium. Joining us now to talk about it, Johnny Rabbit. Welcome back.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for the welcome. Thank you for letting me come back on the radio and talk to you about these things and go on at the History Museum.
Yeah.
And I maybe you'll be there this week. Can you come over and join us, do you think? Is it possible?
Tuesday morning.
Yes, yes. At 10 o'clock we start.
Doors open at 10 o'clock.
Right. And then we're going to have a half hour of music, which is not unusual, but this be unusual music. It's the St. Louis Classic Guitar, used to be Classic Guitar Society.
Yeah.
They're a quartet of classical guitarists, and they have come up with their own renditions of songs from the 1760s, 1860s, and 1960s, from Vivaldi and Bach to the Beatles and the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And that alone is worth the price of admission. Of course, the price is free, so you know, can't go wrong.
In the comfortable, it's been so hot, and it's going to be another hot one this week. Air-conditioned Lee Auditorium, it's good to know that. Perfectly comfort-controlled. And there's a little twist to your presentation this week. It's the 60s in St. Louis, but there's a little twist to that.
What's that?
Well, you have 1760s, 1860s, and 19s. I think just 1960s when I hear 60s.
Yeah, you've caught on to that. Most people, when I say the 60s in St. Louis, that's the first thing they're going to say.
Yeah,
but we had a couple other 60s.
Yeah.
We have had three centuries of 60s in St. Louis. So that first one was only a little over half of a decade, since the city wasn't really founded to February 15th of 1764. But there are no Instagram photographs or iPhone photographs of that period of time. Mm. But there are a lot of things happened in that very short period of time when St. Louis was teeny. I mean, a teeny tiny village, no more than a village. I will be showing you this wonderful painting, which was done after the time of Shoto there, directing people and starting to cut down some trees to build the first log buildings, and a couple of Indians in the background are looking at it like, what the heck are these people doing? Who are they?
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about what happened in that period. We're talking about the pre-revolutionary days. So it was more than the Wild West. And that's, you know, it was really the start of the gateway to the West, as the country was just starting to move past the Mississippi River. Then we move up to the 1860s, and I know the main thing in there, we're going to concentrate on the Civil War and what's the role of St. Louis during the Civil War, which was very, very big, from James Buchanan Eads, ironclad riverboats, war boats, what happened in the riverfront, and what was called a terrible tragedy. It was a battle here between the Confederates and the Union.
Mm-hmm.
With Lindell's Grove is where it took place, which is on the east side of the St. Louis University campus, on the east side of Grand.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were moving the Confederate, they were going to capture them and move them down to the Arsenal, which is on Arsenal Street.
Oh, okay.
Some remnants of that are still there. That's the Frost campus at St. Louis University. And quite a few people were killed along the way. So we'll talk about Grant and Sherman and Abraham Lincoln visiting here, and the Jonathan Pierce. People don't remember that name, but he was the Cracker King, and he made his money in the Civil War providing what was called hardtack, or crackers, for the Union Army.
Oh, how about that?
And with his money, he built a place that became known as the Cracker Castle.
Oh.
And it was on Shoto and St. Anne's. It was a very, very ornate, large building.
Wow.
So there's so much in that period of time, and the city certainly had grown, and German immigrants and other Eastern European immigrants and Irish immigrants were here, and the city was really, really booming in the 1860s. And we'll jump ahead to the 1960s, and right from the very beginning of that decade up to the very end, and all of the trials and tribulations and good things about the country, you know, the start of the Vietnam War, and again, how St. Louis played a role in that, and the opening of the Playboy Club and Gaslight Square, and how Walt Disney was going to build this big amusement park downtown, but ended up building out in California instead. Now, the 1760s are going to be basically handled by Andy Hahn. Andy is the director of the Campbell House Museum at 15th and Locust. And then the 1860s will be under the supervision of Chris Knopfziger, historian, educator, who has worked with us on several occasions in programs. He's prepared an amazingly interesting program, because then we did have a lot of photographs. I mean, there were a lot of images that from the 1860s.
Is that right?
Some are daguerreotypes and that kind of thing, but they all look good when we blow them up on the big screen of the Lee Auditorium. And then I'll have some help doing the 1960s with the one, the only Bob Cuban. Of the cheater fame. Bob was, that was out in 66, and he still has a band. He still performs. His band still performs, and he's a great St. Louis celebrity. And Ryan, one of the weirdest things when I was starting to think, you know, I'd like to get somebody to help me with the 60s, and I said, well, I could call it, boy, I could call, wait a minute, who can I call? Who's left that was in media, on television, or in radio, in the music business, or in the newspapers, or a well-known businessman? There are very few left.
Is that right?
We're talking about 50 years ago, at the least.
Yeah. I'm trying to think broadcast-wise. That landscape, you would have known everyone at that time, wouldn't you?
Oh, sure.
You would have networked with all the television and also radio stations. So,
yeah,
it makes you wonder who's still around from that time.
Yeah, now Ron Jacober would still be around. Bob Hamilton would still be around. But then, you know, after that, you're really running out of people. And they haven't all passed away. Many have retired. Many have moved far away. That are not available. So Bob Cuban is going to be great to be the person to, along with me, to represent the 1960s.
Nate, it sounds like you got an awful lot planned yet again, and it's hard to fit all of that in because you're going to cover three decades in, what, between 10:30 and noon at the Missouri History Museum. That's a lot to jam in. But you somehow, you keep everyone on track. You got your stopwatch. You're keeping an eye on the time. You know,
I'm doing that right now, incidentally, so I don't talk too much.
Do you carry the stopwatch everywhere you go?
I do.
Do you?
That's great. And it's doors open at 10. Well, actually, the museum will open at 9:45, Lee Auditorium at 10, and we'll go on to 12 noon, and everybody is invited. It's absolutely free. There's plenty of parking around the museum on either side or on Lindelar behind it by the tennis courts.
Yeah. I want to know more about the stopwatch. So do you use it in line at, like, the grocery store?
No, I don't do that. I'm not quite that bad. Though I've used it sometimes in a restaurant waiting for service. Wait a minute. Something's taking. Let me just set this timer because the time does go by.
You know what? I wouldn't use it to judge the store by itself. I would use it to judge myself to make sure I jumped in the right line. Because I always look, if I would have been in that line, I would be checking out right now. And I'm always second-guessing where I need to go.
Right.
So that's how I would time myself.
That's a good, you know, that is, I mean, I think that's universal. I think that happens to everybody. You try to analyze it, okay, this is it, and then that wasn't it. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to think about timing of things. And, Roger Brand in the morning and afternoon are telling us, how long it takes to get from here to there. And I know how long it takes for me to get, like when I get off at KMOX on Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 o'clock, it takes me 22 minutes to get home. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
But I know it's 22 minutes. So after that, something has slowed me down. But everybody has their time frame. So I hope somebody has time. You know, a lot of people can't come to these daytime events because they are working. But if you're not, and if you have maybe some friends in from out of town, it's also a great museum to visit when you come to the History Museum. Plus, the gift shop will be open, totally 100% redone and renovated, and everything's new.
Awesome. Make sure to check it out. And I will say I was just there for the Pulitzer exhibit, which was awesome.
I knew you liked it.
A great 1-2 combo. And I will mention about the gift shop. I'll tell you the thing that really impressed me. They're not overpriced in the gift shop. I was shocked. I went in through there, and everything was like, wow, this is actually a really good price. I thought I was going to go in there, and everything was going to be about double, because I've been to other gift shops at other places. It's always like that. This place is actually, everything's priced the way it should. It was so impressive. Yeah, I was so impressed by that.
Yeah, a young lady named Susan Ponceroli runs it and really keeps things priced right and keeps the merchandise in there that people want. And most, not all of it, but most of it is about St. Louis, somewhere in Missouri, something to do with this area. So it's, gosh, if anybody wanted a book, to buy a book about St. Louis or Missouri, it's the best place to go.
Yep, and with the Pulitzer exhibit, if you know anyone in the family that loves photography, they got, like, these camera pillows, they got these camera coffee mugs. They look like camera lenses. They even have the themed items for the specific exhibits that are there that kind of come and go, so you got to take advantage of that while they're there. So if you know anyone that loves photography, go get them a gift there, too. It's perfect the way it's set up. Missouri History Museum, it's this Tuesday, September 17th. Doors open at 10 o'clock. Presentation starts at 10:30, so make sure you get a seat before 10:30. Get there early to enjoy some of the music. People are very friendly. Get there early to talk to the person you're sitting next to. And Johnny Rabbit, thank you so much for coming on and explaining the 60s in St. Louis.
You're terrific to do this, Ryan, and thank you so much.
He joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. Well, we had some issues with the podcast last week, but we're back up and running. So we're going to have up our interview with Dr. Stone, who's the hug doctor from the first hour, and we'll put this one up there as well, at KMOX.com/ONA, which it feels good to get that back up and running. So I also want to recommend, if you have an iPhone, what you could do, and this would be a great way for you to help the show, would be to open up that podcasting app of yours and search for Overnight America. And right there, there's a picture of me. Aw, isn't that nice? Now, when you click the subscribe button, that's nice, but if you leave a review, like a 5-star review, and say, oh, this show's great, it really helps other people discover this show. For some weird reason, when one person recommends it, in the background on Apple, it says, ooh, okay, maybe we'll let other people know about it too. And that's the way shows get found. So if you like the show and you think other people should listen to it, a great way for you to help the show is not only tell other people, but also let them know, hey, it's on your podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. And there's links, you know, if you have an Android phone, it'll, you know, direct you. If you got an Apple phone, it'll help you that way too. Coming up in the next hour, Rick Ocasek, frontman for the Cars, has passed away. This is in the last couple of hours. In New York, they found him. That's kind of sad. But you know who else died over the weekend was Eddie Money. I have a pretty good Eddie Money story I want to share from about 8 years ago. And I'll do that next hour. Don't go anywhere. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.